Of Holly Grove Lutheran Church, we are grateful that you are able to join us virtually today. On behalf of the council and myself, I would like to thank you for your grace and understanding this week as we have adapted and pivoted to being virtual. It is not ideal, it is not how any of us would have chosen for us to gather together, but it is the safest, and always your safety and well-being is our top priority. I want to thank the Fellowship Committee for all that they did last week to make our rally day such a wonderful day, from the breakfast to the lunch to all the little details in between. Thank you to everyone who helped make that such a wonderful day. So since we are meeting virtually and all activities have been altered, the chicken barbecue that was supposed to be held yesterday will now be held on Saturday, October 2nd. Saturday, October 2nd. On the prayer list, I have some things that I would love to share with you for many, many weeks, maybe as long as I've been at Holly Grove now. Teresa Fritz has been on our prayer list, and she recently had some brain cancer and was undergoing treatments. She had a scan this Wednesday that showed that the cancer in her brain is gone and that the treatments have worked, and we are so grateful for her and give thanks to God that she is doing so well. A couple of additions to our friends and family prayer list. James Flo, the brother-in-law of Sherry Proctor, is in the hospital with COVID. And Tina Hedrick's cousin Jimmy was in a really serious motorcycle accident yesterday and has sustained really severe injuries. And so we pray for Jimmy as well. We've got a few birthdays this week. Kelly Carrick, Anna Clark, Victoria Valletto, and then as far as anniversaries, Rex and Tracy Everhart. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sin. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, our teacher and guide, you draw us to yourself and welcome us as beloved children. Help us to lay aside all envy and selfish ambition, that we may walk in your ways of wisdom and understanding as servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from the 11th chapter of Jeremiah. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their evil deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter, and I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered." But you, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who try the heart and the mind, let us see your retribution upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm is Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by your name. In your might, defend my cause. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and the ruthless have sought my life. Those who have no regard for God. Behold, God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life. Render evil to those who spy on me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will offer you a free will sacrifice and praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For you have rescued me from every trouble, and my eyes look down on my enemies. The second reading is from James. Who was wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'm going to stay here at the pulpit while I offer the children's message. It was a gift and delight for me, I think for so many of us, to see so many kids at church last Sunday. It made us really happy that you were here, and it made us happy that we were able to give you new Bibles, because the last time you received a Bible from us, you were much younger, and as your body grows, so does your mind and your heart, and we wanted you to have a Bible that was for this stage of your life, for your mind and your heart. You might think the Bible is just one more book to sit on your bookshelf or your nightstand, but actually when we read the Bible, that's one of the ways that we can spend time with God, that God spends time with us when we're reading those words, those stories, when we're looking at those pictures, God speaks to us and shares God's very heart with us. And it got me to thinking, you know, in our lives, we have different kinds of friends. We have our closest friends, our best friends, our besties. Then we've got sort of our average friends who we are friends with. They're not necessarily acquaintances, but they're not necessarily our best friends either. I would say those are kind of our average friends. And then we have more acquaintances who are people that we know, and if we see them at the grocery store or the ball field or at school, we might wave and say hello, but we're not that close to them. Thinking about these kinds of different friendships, these are some of the same ways that people have a relationship with God, that for some people, God is a mere acquaintance. Somebody that they think about from time to time, someone that they, if they see God or if they drive by a church, they might think about God. But God isn't necessarily somebody that they spend time with and do things with and are close to. And then yet for others, God might be more like an average friend, where you hang out with God from time to time and there's not necessarily anything wrong with the relationship, it's just kind of an average friendship. But God truly desires to be our best and closest friend. And God is unlike any of our human friends because God will never leave us or forsake us. God is always with us. Now I want to say that spending more time with God does not make God love us anymore, and spending less time with God does not make God love us any less. But God loves us so much that God really does want to be with us and spend time with us and be our very, very best friend. And so two of the things that I think are some of the best ways to spend time with God and to grow closeness in that relationship and to let God be our best friend is, one, prayer. Prayer can sometimes be intimidating because we think we don't necessarily know what to say or how to say it and that it has to be kind of fancy. All prayer is talking with God. Talking with God like you talk with your parents or your siblings or your friends. You'll notice every Sunday in the children's sermon, instead of saying, "Dear God," as we begin the prayer, I say, "Good morning, God." I want it to be more conversational for us because that's what prayer is. So when you are playing toys, you can talk to God. When you are laying in bed at night, you can talk to God. When you're driving down the road, you can talk to God. You can talk to God anytime, anywhere. And God wants that. God wants us to always be in conversation with God. And then the second way that I want to share that we can spend time with God and grow closer to God is by spending time in the Bible. The Bible tells us so many stories about who God is and how much God loves us and the world. And the more you learn about God, learn about your best friend in the Bible, the closer to God that you will be. So God really, really wants to be your best friend. But there are a few things that you need to do to make that happen, and that is spend time with God in conversation and in prayer. So let us pray. Repeat after me. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for loving us so much. We want to be your best friend. And we want you to be our best friend. Help us to talk to you all the time. And help us to spend time in the Bible, learning more about you and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I like to play games. As many of you saw last weekend on Rally Day with the Jeopardy and Family Feud games that I created, I love trivia games. But I also like to play card games and board games. For example, I've got my deck of Uno cards here. I'd venture to guess that most of you have played Uno or are at least familiar with how the game works. The object is to be the first player to score 500 points. Points are scored by being the first to rid yourself of all the cards in your hand before your opponent. And you play cards from your hands by either matching the color or the number or the word on top of the card. When you have one card left, you yell, "Uno!" This is a great game to play with kids because they can match up the color when they're learning colors, they can match up the numbers when they're learning numbers, and even if they can't read yet, they can match up the symbol on some of the cards with words. There's a draw two. I don't like getting the draw fours and getting multiple in a row. So the object is to get 500 points first, and you do this by tabulating the points of the cards that your opponents have left. The first person to score 500 points wins. So imagine with me that you're sitting around your kitchen table playing a game of Uno with three or four people. It's been a pretty good game. Not only have you shared laughter around the table, but you've had some pretty good luck with the cards that you've gotten. You've also played with some strategy that has helped you to be the front runner. And at the end of the current hand, you will easily be able to earn enough points to score well over the 500 points needed to win the game. Just as you are about to claim your victory with the most points, someone pipes up and says, "Wait a minute, you're playing by the wrong rules. Actually, the person with the lowest score is the winner." You would probably be a mix of surprised, shocked, in disbelief, and maybe even a little bit of angry. You'd be a little bit angry. You would frustratedly exclaim that the person with the highest score is the winner. The person with the highest score is the better player. You worked hard to score all those points. You deserve to win. Those are the rules that you know and the rules that you've always played by. These new rules are ridiculous and they don't make sense. The loser doesn't become the winner. The winner is the greatest, not the loser. These rules have turned everything upside down. This isn't how it's supposed to be. The greatest shall be first, not the last shall be first. And yet, this is exactly what Jesus is saying in today's gospel lesson. Jesus turns everything we know and everything we've been taught about greatness upside down. He says that whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. The very challenging thing here is that what the gospel says greatness is and what our culture says greatness is are two very different things. Not just a little bit different, but polemic opposites, one end of the pendulum and the other end of the pendulum. And we have to choose, because we can't choose both. We cannot serve two lords. We have to choose who we are going to follow. our culture or Jesus. And our lives will mirror who we follow. Our culture tells us that greatness is something that we achieve. It's something that we deserve because we work hard for it, that if we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, we can achieve greatness. Our culture defines greatness by measuring our status, the amount of power we have over others, by measuring the amount of money we have, by measuring our possessions, by who we know and how we're connected. It's easy to be tempted into this way of thinking and living. It's very tempting to be thrown off course in following these non-Kingdom of God things, these non-Kingdom of God values. We see what other people have, what they wear, what they look like, and we want it. We let fear and greed, envy and jealousy motivate us. And then we read our gospel lesson for today, and Scripture holds up a mirror for us and shows us that, in fact, when we achieve greatness in our culture, in the eyes of the world, when our lives and character look more like the world around us, the world that we live in, that in fact we do look like who we follow, and it's not Jesus. When our lives look just like everyone around us, we are not following the way of Jesus. We're learning in Bible study that from the very beginning of God forming the Israelites into God's people back in Exodus, God has always called God's people to be a contrast society, a society that looks different from the world around it, a society that holds different values, God's values, a society that others will see that is different and they'll be drawn to it. But sadly and heartbreakingly, this is not the way that the church in America looks these days. It breaks my heart, and it breaks God's heart, because instead of Christians looking like Jesus and acting like Jesus by being the last of all and servant of all, so many Christians look like the world around us, filled with selfish ambitions, focusing on ourselves and loving ourselves more than our neighbor. I saw something on Facebook this week. Somebody asked another person, "Are you a Christian?" And the person replied, "You'll have to ask my neighbor." There are a lot of people who say that they are Christian. They might even go to church on Sunday mornings. And yet their lives look nothing like Jesus. Jesus invites us and calls us to love our neighbor, to live a life of humble service in which we are the last of all and the servant of all. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection turns the whole world upside down. In God's reign, grace abolishes the world's understanding of greatness. In God's reign, there is a complete reversal of status and values. Those who have no value and no status in the world have the most value and the most status in the kingdom of God. The truth is that Jesus welcomes those that we don't. Jesus embraces those that we don't. God gives value to those that we don't. We will never, ever meet somebody that God doesn't value. We will never, ever meet somebody that doesn't bear the image of God. We will never meet somebody that God doesn't love. And we will never meet somebody that God doesn't call us to value and to love just like God does. Jesus turns everything we know about greatness upside down. He says that whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And not just toward the bottom or toward the last, but the last of all and the servant of all. Brothers and sisters, whether or not we like it, whether or not it's comfortable, and it's probably more likely uncomfortable, our lives reflect who we follow. Do our lives reflect the world around us? Or do they reflect our risen Lord, who came to be the last of all and the servant of all? Jesus has and continues to turn the world upside down. And he invites us to be transformed into his likeness by being the last of all and the servant of all. May it be so. Amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of community, we pray for the church around the world. Unite us in our love for you. Help us overcome our divisions, that we are encouraged to work together for your sake. Lord, in your mercy, God of creation, we pray for this hurting earth. Awaken us a new desire to care for this world and empower us to support agencies, organizations, and individual efforts to heal our environment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of cooperation, we pray for nations of the world embroiled in conflict. Inspire leaders to listen to each other and work towards peaceful solutions to disagreements. Protect the vulnerable, especially children, who cannot find safety in their home or country. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of comfort, we pray for all who live with mental or physical illness. Help them find appropriate care. Bring healing and wholeness when the path forward seems bleak. Come quickly to the help of all who are grieving and all those who suffer in any way, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold and Myra, Gary and Judy, Bill, Sherry, the family of Jimmy Beck, Raven and Tim, our families and friends listed in the bulletin, and those now we name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Joel Lockhart. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, we pray for the young people of this congregation. Renew in us your call to welcome the children in our midst. As they grow, strengthen their faith and our commitment to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of consolation, we give you thanks for our loved ones who have died and pray for all who grieve today. Shine your grace on all your saints. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Peace.
Peace. At this time, we invite you to bring your offering to the Lord. There are a couple different ways you can do that. One, you can give online. Just go to our website and follow the instructions there, or you can mail your tithe and offering into the church office. Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give you thanks that you illumine our way of life through the words of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us the light we need. Awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us recite our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.